lost and dying in this world today. Have you heard their crying, or do you turn away? The harvest now is plenteous, but the laborers are few. God needs some willing vessels to be used. Here am I will go, I will reach the lost untold. I will give the Lord control. I will tell them of the crimson flow. Is it too late for caring? Does Jesus really save? Are we truly praying for the blind to find their way? Little children are falling into a burning hell. Will anyone heed the calling to go and tell? Here am I will go, I will reach the lost untold. I will give the Lord control. I will tell them of the crimson flame. For my Savior died on that rugged cross. He thought of me when he counted the cost. How can I say that I love him if I don't reply? Here am I will go, I will reach the lost untold. I will give the Lord control. Savior, here am I.
Thank you, Nick. Let's all stand together and let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. I know we had a few more announcements than normal. Apologize for that, but we have a lot going on this summer and we want to make sure you know what's going on. By the way, great to have Brother West and Brother Lalo back with us right here. Raise your hands, gentlemen. I'm sorry, I should have said gentlemen. And Brother Lolo, no, just kidding. Raise your hand. Great to have them with us. It's just tremendous blessing and help. And so they want to fellowship with us this week. And so the job site at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, fellowship begins. Nehemiah chapter 8. We'll read several verses here. Nehemiah chapter 8. Let's look at verse 1. Says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, not the one you're thinking of. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. Beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Nehiah, Urijah, Hilkiah, Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left hand, Pedaiah, Mishael, Micaiah, Haslam, and all these other guys that were related to each other, I'm sure. Verse 5. And Ezra opened the book of in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, and all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, amen. And lifted up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua and Bani and Shimei and all these other guys, we'll pass them, caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tishiah, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way and eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them to whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat, to drink, to send portions, to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all people, the priests, the Levites, Ezra the scribe, even unto understand the words of the law. They found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. And let's end there. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the word of God and the lessons it teaches us. Bless us now in the service. Help us to understand what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'll give you the introduction here. There are two Old Testament books that deal with the Jews returning to their exile, after their exile to Jerusalem, their homeland, to rebuild. Ezra is one, the other is Nehemiah. Ezra went back first, and Ezra rebuilt the temple. Nehemiah went back after Ezra, and he went to rebuild the wall around the city. The end of Ezra's time kind of overlaps with the front end of Nehemiah's time. That's why you see Ezra mentioned here in the book of Nehemiah. When we're to the point where we just read this chapter, the temple is pretty much done. The temple worship has been restored. The wall is done. And so they're having a meeting here. They request Ezra to come and teach them the book of the law. Nehemiah calls for it and he's invited. The physical needs of the city had already been done. Temple, wall. Now they realized that they needed to really work on the spiritual needs of the people. And so in essence, what they're having here is a little bit of a Bible conference, Bible service. The chapter tells a story. I'm going somewhere with this, so hang with me. During the summer, we do a lot in our church to help get through the summer. Summer's kind of a different time. People get off schedule and so forth, children and so forth and so on. And really, if we're not careful, during the summertime, there is a tendency to kind of, in essence, take our foot off the spiritual pedal, to kind of back off from God a little bit if we're not careful. During the summer, most of us take vacations, and you should, okay? But never take a vacation from God. Because when we take vacation, we always come back. I like going on vacation. I love my in-laws. I don't love them that much. We're not staying forever, okay? There comes a time, vacation's great, but when you start getting towards the end of vacation, it's like, it's time to get home. I want to come back. When you take a vacation for God, it's not always sure that you're going to make it back. There's just an inherent danger there. And so that's why in our church, we do a lot to kind of help us get through that. I know many churches, and they're not bad, but kind of summer is kind of shutdown time. Kind of like, everybody's on vacation anyhow. Let's just kind of cut our programs off. Let's just get through the summer. But I think church ought to all the time be exciting. I think there ought to always be something going on and something exciting going on. One of the things we do, we call, and we've talked about it, For to Flourish, encouraging people to be faithful to all the services of the church. We want everybody that's in our church, everybody that's saved, that comes here, to have a good, close, dynamic relationship with God. By the way, that ought to be your desire. Coming to church and the church you attend is a part of that. It's a big part of it. It's not the only part of it, but it is a big part of it. And so we challenge you with this thing called For to Flourish. We encourage people to do it all the time. It's part of our, as you go through our next steps, we talk about that in our devotion section. In here, though, you're seeing a service. And as I read this one day, I was going through, I was like, man, this is a church service they're having. And they're doing it right. So why don't we learn from them what's involved with a church service? There are many elements here that are mentioned here. By the way, God wants us to be more than just a church Christian, more than just a Sunday morning Christian. There's more to Christianity than that. As Romero mentioned, when he was going to a Catholic church and he wasn't a Christian, and it's kind of like, I just went in there, I gave him my little bit of time, and the rest of the week I did whatever I wanted. That's not Christianity. Okay? By the way, coming to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than me standing in my garage would make me a car. Now, our garage is kind of small. You can't even really park a car in there. I think I parked our car in there one time. We were on vacation. I used to have the PDT Cruiser. I parked it in there, and it was so tight, I couldn't get out. The doors wouldn't open. I had to literally click the button and have somebody. I think I called my wife. I had myself, can you open that back gate? And I crawled through to get out. So for our garage, I'd say going to church makes you no more Christian than being in our garage makes me a washing machine, because that's basically what we have in there. So we want to have that relate. So what's involved in this church service, I think that would help us to understand our relationship to our church services. I want you to see, first of all, number one, it involves attendance. That's where it always starts. Verse 1 says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man. That's where it starts. Starts with people meeting together. What is a church anyhow? Is a church a building? No. The building is where the church meets. The church is a called out assembly of believers that meet together. So the important part is attendance, being together with God's people. If you go through the Bible, that God wants us to be a part of a church is undeniable. All you got to do is read through the New Testament. It's all over the place. I can give you a million verses, but God's idea was the church, and he wanted us there. Acts 2:41, about the early church, right after Jesus Christ had resurrected and his disciples were out getting the church started and really getting it going forward, propelling it. Verse 2 of Acts chapter 2, verse 41 says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Once a person gets saved and trusts Christ, the next step is they get baptized. What happened to those people? And the same day were added unto them. Who's them? The church. The people that made up the church. They were saved and they were baptized, and they didn't take off their own way and say, it's done, I'm going to heaven now, that's taken care of. No, they were added to the church. God wants us to meet together. Hebrews says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Don't stop that. By the way, there's some people out there that are stopping. I don't need church anymore. The church is this and that. It's just me and Jesus. Well, if it's you and Jesus, Jesus said to be part of a church. See, Jesus said, it's not a selfish thing. It's not just about you and him. It's about other believers and being together. He says, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another. I know this. If I'm out all day with people that aren't Christians, it's hard to get encouragement sometimes. But you always get encouragement when you're around God's people. Exhorting one another. And it says, I like this phrase, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It says, man, the way things are going, we don't need less. We need so much the more. We don't just need to come in on a Sunday morning at 10:30 to 11:30 and say, there you go, God. You got your hour. Leave me alone the rest of the week. We need so much the more. That's why I encourage people to do the For to Flourish. Church is a vital part of the Christian's life. Christ sacrificed himself for the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 27, he talks about husband and wives and their relationship, and he parallels it with the relationship of Christ to the church to show how important that relationship is. He says, husbands, in verse 25 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Now you say, oh man, you know, I'm married. This isn't the marriage series. That's coming next week. But, oh, I'm married and I love my wife. Okay, as Christ loved the church? Probably not. You know, that kind of love takes God's help. I read that and I'm like, you're kidding. That's tough. But you know what? With God's help, you can. And that's where we need his help. But he says, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Sounds to me, maybe I'm just reading too much into this, that church was a big deal to Jesus. Sounds to me like it's an important thing. And I think we need to make that a part of our life. Amen. Church is not just some, well, you know, if I have time. If you're a Christian, God wants you to be connected with his people. God wants you to be a part of what is going on, what he is doing. Church is a wonderful gift that God has given to Christians. The church does us no good if we're not here. It just doesn't. God wants us to learn. God wants us to get what he has for us. That's why we talk about For to Flourish. We encourage people. Look, I think about where my life is, where it was before I got saved, and I'm giving the story over, but I got saved in 10th grade when I was in high school, and I knew I was saved. I didn't go to church. I kind of still did my own thing. It was interesting. Now that I was saved and I was doing my own thing, I always got in trouble. Before, it seemed like I always got away with it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I never, you know, the police were never around. I was never, it's like once I got saved and I was doing those things, it's like things weren't as easy as it used to be. But I had my issues. I had to leave high school early, not that I finished early. It was kind of an agreement between the principal and I. I didn't like them. They didn't like me. We agreed. Let's part our ways. And so I started working, got out of school early, started working, and God was still dealing with me. So I went to church for a couple Sunday mornings, a month. I went for a month straight, Sunday morning church. God was dealing with me, and I knew that I needed to kind of either do what he wants or get out of there and do my own thing. And I decided I was going to do what God wants. Now, what was the next step? They didn't have a banner on the wall. They didn't have anybody. Wasn't in a Sunday school class. They didn't have a teacher pushing me. So I did the only thing I knew. I said, I'm going to come to every single service. They didn't have a For to Flourish banner. So I came to Sunday school Sunday morning. I came back Sunday night, came back Wednesday nights. Everything that's happened in my life from that time all stemmed from that one decision. To be honest with you, if I wouldn't have made that decision, I probably would not have lasted in church. Say, but what about all those things about reading your Bible, all that stuff? Learned it in church. I was encouraged to do it in church. Many changes I made in my life. So where'd you learn about those changes? I'll tell you where I learned about those changes. I'd be sitting in church. Pastor Black would get up and he'd preach and he'd show you something from the Bible. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know I was in there. And I'm definitely violating it. I'm like, I'm going to do what God wants. I better start following that. Amen. That was the biggest decision I ever made. I know the importance of it in my life. That's why I have no problem encouraging you to follow it. You say, I've never done that before. It's kind of different. 7 weeks, 27 services. I encourage you to try it. I don't think you'll regret it. Sundays. Some of you come on Sunday mornings. You don't come to Sunday school. You ought to come to Sunday school. Man, when you come in a service like this, it's like your first and foremost thing is, I want a seat. I don't want to sit on someone's lap. Are you with me? And I don't want to get, now some of you like sitting in the penalty box outside, and that's fine. Well, really, when pastor was here a lot of times, I like sitting out there. But you just, we're looking, just get a seat, get in here, and we're kind of walking on top of each people. Service is over, the mad rush to get down that thin hallway to get to the nursery and get your little bunny foo-foo out there and hang out here where it's crowded. That's why we're building a new building. But when you go to Sunday school, time's not so rushed. smaller groups. You get to meet some people, okay? And then we come to the morning service and Sunday night service at 5. And during family nights when we're doing this, I realize we got a lot going on at church. We're going to streamline the service. We won't have as many announcements. And we'll get out of here, but we'll start right at 5. You want to get here on time, we'll get out of here 6 o'clock, maybe 5 after 6, so we can get out and have the fellowship together, because that's important too. We'll have the preaching, but we'll modify the service. I'll talk fast. You listen fast. It'll all be good. But I'm asking you and I'm encouraging you, if you don't do it, to do it. It'll encourage you. Say, well, I work on Thursdays. Then if you're at us, obviously if you're working, you can't be here, but you can do all the other ones. But I encourage you, think about it. You have your family, get them involved. Man, we have Patch the Pirate on Sunday nights for the children. They get to go in there, they learn godly character lessons. They also learn music and get to come sing, and they do good up here. I like the little peewees because they are in Dada land. You know, we're just trying to keep them from keep their finger out of their nose. I remember the first time we ever had children sing in church, first time. My daughter Jessica was 5. I think Joseph was 5. There was a bunch of other kids. And I remember my daughter was at this end, and Joseph was at that end. Joseph was standing over here singing. I think he had his finger in his nose. My daughter Jessica got nervous, so she grabbed her dress and put it in her mouth. What happens when you pull your dress up to put it in your mouth? That's what happens. Okay, I remember one time we had the kids singing. Jack came out. Jack. He's sitting there. One of the teenagers pointed a pretend gun and said, pow, pow. So Jack thought that was funny, so he started doing it. People started laughing. He thought, wow, I've got the crowd in the palm of my hand. He started acting up the whole song. Everybody thought it was funny, except for me. I sat in the back of the auditorium. I said, when that kid gets home, we're talking. And as it went on and he was being funnier and funnier, I said, I ain't waiting until we get home. I went around. They used to come to the back room at the old church, and I stood there and I waited for him. I said, go to my office. We went to my office. I'm like, what in the world were you thinking? What were you doing? He said, but I was making him happy, Dad. I'm like, how do you deal with that? The parents weren't happy. He ruined the whole performance. I'm telling you right now. Kid hasn't changed much, has he? But anyhow, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, Patch the Pirate. But listen, there's things for the children. I'm saying we need to be together. Amen. We're going to talk about a few other things, but really this is it. The turning point in my life, as a Christian, just bar none, when I started coming to all the services. That was it. That was a turning point. Yep. So did you start reading your Bible? You know, I did, but you know where I was really encouraged? Church. Yep. What about prayer? Talked about prayer. Church. Yep. All those things. So I encourage you to commit to it. Yep. But what else did it involve? Quickly, we'll give you a few more of these and we'll be done. It involves Scripture. Verse 2. So Ezra comes and he brings the law to them. Verse 2, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation. Verse 3, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate. And this says at the end of the verse, and the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of the people. Many good reasons to go to church, but I'm telling you, one of the best is Scripture. Amen. We go to church to be Christians. And by the way, I like fellowship. I like being with you. I enjoy, you know, we've had these people over our house, we've had the church members over our house, and only a few things have been stolen. It's not bad. I'm just kidding. It's like, I stand at the door with a little metal thing. Put your hand, all right, you can breathe free. Just, I'm kidding. You know, our class was there. We had a good time. It was, I don't know, 50 singles were in and out, like 50 or 60 of them. And, you know, the neighbors didn't complain that we were loud or any of that. We didn't crank up the rap music until after 10, so they were fine with that. We were dancing with lampshades in our head. It was great. By the way, I enjoy having people over. I enjoy the fellowships. I really do. I enjoy being with people at the church. We're here to worship the Lord, but you know what? The primary essence of the church needs to be the Word of God. That's what changes your life. It's the Word. And Ezra got up. They brought Ezra because he was a ready scribe in the law of God. He knew what he was talking about. And so they looked at the scripture. By the way, let me just say this. Many churches are getting away from that. You know, we'll get a crowd if we change the music, they're getting away from music that has anything to do with God. Many of them are starting to use secular songs. By the way, we'll never play U2 songs here. Never. We're not going to play Pink Floyd The Wall like another church I knew did. We ain't doing it. We're not going to pay. Well, you know, but this person sings secular music and they say they're a Christian. Check out their testimony. No, they're not. That was free. We're moving on. But we're not going to change that. And we're not going to, you know, listen, if we back away from the Bible and teach things that just sound good or are tickling, listen, I could get up here and tell you all kinds of cute little things. That's not going to change your life.
Yep. Amen.
God's never promised to bless what I say.
Yep.
God's always, excuse me, God's always promised to bless what he says.
Right?
Right? And so we need God's word. Churches want to do dramas now. You want drama? I have a family. There's all kinds. Yeah, I have girls. That's real drama. Look, you know, we'll act out the plays about. No. Let's look in the book. Let's read the scripture. Okay. Let's see what God says, because I have a sneaking suspicion he knows what he's talking about. Right. We need the word. What are some of the things they did? There was reading. They read it publicly. We don't read a lot, but I want you to see the verses. That's why we stand out of respect. I know some of you, your health, you can't stand up. Totally fine. We're not making everybody stand up for 4 hours. By the way, they stood for a really long time. They stood for a really long time. If we had one of those church services, that food would be cold. Okay? But I'm just saying, the word of God, we read it. And I want you to notice there was reverence. That's why they stood. When Ezra started reading the word, they all just stood up. It's like, this is God's law. I'm not getting on us, please. Just take this with a grain of salt. We've lost the reverence from church. Church is nothing more than just, we treat church like a sporting event. I think it's a little more important than that. I do. I'm not saying, you know, I'm just saying, and look, they heard the word. I think we ought to, I think everybody ought to have a Bible when you come to church. Now, if you're new and you come and you don't have a Bible, ask your Sunday school teacher. They'll help you get one.
Yeah.
Say, well, I have my Bible on my phone. I have a Bible on my iPad. Let me say this, and again, if you don't want to take this, this is not the word of the Bible. This is the word of Steve speaking here. But bear with me for 1 minute, okay? By the way, I don't read this Bible anymore. You say, oh yeah, you're a pagan. I am. No, okay. I personally read on my iPad. Okay, take a lot of notes in there. A lot of highlight verses. It looks like the Bible. It works for me. I'm not saying you have to do that. I know some people crucify me. If they crucify Jesus, we're in a good crowd. But let me say this. I say that to say this. You ought to bring your Bible to church. I would never use my iPad for my Bible in church. You want to know why? Look, every device I own gets text, email. It all does. I'm in the Apple community, I guess, and it's all connected. I sit in my office, and if someone texts me, 4 things go off. My laptop, it all goes off for the same text. So if I'm sitting here, and again, please, if you do this, I'm not getting on you, so don't hate me. I love you to pieces. But if I'm sitting, what happens is, I get someone texts you, you're distracted now. I'll check my Facebook page. Or I want to do this. It's easy to get a... Look, if you're sitting in there with this Bible, you ain't getting a text. All right? Now look, I know we're all busy, but I don't think anybody's too busy where you can't give God his time without your phone.
Amen.
Now I understand. We have a few people here that sometimes you're on call, right? And if your boss calls, you have to answer and get going. Totally understand that. But I think you get what I'm saying. I'm just saying, during the time when I'm at church, I just want everything closed in. Let me pay attention. Now, after church, text me. I'll text you back. You can buy me dinner. We'll have a great time together. okay? And we'll read my iPad together. That's fine. But the whole point is, when I'm in church, I really want to get it. You know, and maybe I was different when I was a new Christian, because I was so ignorant of the Bible, I didn't know anything about it. You could have told me that Tom had a book in the Bible, I would have said, where is it? I didn't know. I didn't know that there was a Job. I thought there was a book about getting a job. You know, I didn't know that. They said, turn to the book of Hezekiah. I would have been looking in the front for it. There is no book of Hezekiah. Okay, Acts chapter 35. I'd have been looking. There is no Acts 35. So I was trying to catch up, and I would sit there, and I would take notes, and the pastor would say something. I'm not saying you have to take notes, but I would, if it was something I wanted to learn, I'd write it down because I wanted to remember it. I'm just saying, the Word of God is important. And so that's what part of church is learning something from the Bible. Now, sometimes we may not learn something new. We might be reminded of something that's slipping, right? Listen, you can have 100 preachers in here, and they'll say, open your Bible to this. I've heard someone preach on that passage. I have. Sorry, I have. Unless they say Leviticus 14:8 or something, you know, take the fat around the livers. I still haven't heard one on that one. But if they say, we're going to talk about this, I've heard it. But there's something in there for me. Sometimes it's a reminder, like, oh, we all need it. I need it. And so that's what church is all about. We're not going to get through here. Let me just say next, it involves worship. Verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, and lifted up their hands. And then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Now, we're not really into the hand-waving thing, although sometimes someone says, hey, I'm all right with that. I have a problem when the whole church, they all wave their hands, and they take those same hands as soon as they leave church, and they're immoral. That bothers me. Okay, if you're going to lift hands, holy hands. Okay? But they were praising the Lord. And then they bowed their heads in reverence. That's worship. We don't know what worship is anymore. The average church thinks worship is music. By the way, not the type of music they're playing. It's Sunday morning. I really don't want to make you mad, but I love you to pieces. But if we have a band up here and we have a bunch of women that aren't dressed correctly and they're swaying around, I don't think about Jesus. Sorry. I have to look the other way. I had a friend he went and visited years ago. He went. Someone was bothering him to go to his church, and he went to this guy's church, and they had the whole thing up there with the and the guy. Afterwards, said, what'd you think of my church? Why don't you come back? The guy goes, I'll never come back. He goes, why? He goes, want me to be honest? He goes, yeah. He goes, when those ladies were up there singing the way they were dressed, I couldn't think about God. Here's the kicker. He asked the guy, he goes, could you? And the guy goes, to be honest with you, no. By the way, it'll draw a crowd. Music isn't worship. It can lead us to worship. Worship is when we give worth to God. And so if I'm singing a song and it's talking about the grace and how wonderful God is, I start thinking about him, that's worship. My God is good. Man, his grace does cover all my sins. Worship. That's why we're here, to say, Lord, you are important in my life. Lord, those things I've heard, I just want to reconfirm in my life that you are good. That's worship. That's one of the reasons we come to church. And there's so many other things, and we don't have time. It involves preaching, of course. Ezra got up and preached the Bible, same thing. So we already talked about the Word of God. By the way, when he preached, he read it. He was very distinct, so they knew what it was talking about. And then he had them have understanding. You know what that is? He applied it to their life. See, sometimes people want to go to church where we get up and we talk about, you know, transubstantiation or, you know, the this or that, and we use big words, and people go home and say, well, that was great. It sounded like a science lecture. The Bible's not a science book. Now, it talks about science, talks about a lot of things, but the Bible is a practical book. We use the word, and the word has been changed in our society. Let me say these and I'll be done. The word relevant. I think it's still in one, I don't have my track on me, in our track, relevant Bible preaching. Now, what we've done now is we've changed that to mean we're going to change the preaching to match the life of people. That's not what relevant means. The word relevant means the Bible talks about the things we go through in life. The Bible talks about your finances. The Bible talks about your family. The Bible talks about life. Everything you go through, the Bible has things that'll help us with that. That's what relevant means. And so that's what we're supposed to do. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying we need more church, not less. Not less. I'm not going to stand right now. Where's my pianist? Jess, can you come? Ushers, get the little commitment cards. Can we grab those real quick as Jessica plays? I want to give you something. I want you to consider this. Think about it. I'm going to challenge you to make a commitment to For to Flourish. You say, man, by the way, if you're new to church here and you're like, what's this all about? I came for the first time and you're trying to get me to go to all the services. Don't freak out about it, okay? You don't need, if God spoke to you about this one thing, but if you need a little more delineation, don't worry about it. We just want you to be back next Sunday. But some of us have been here and we need a little bit more. It took me a month of Sunday mornings before I realized, man, I need to make a decision here. But I just want you to think about it. I have found that when I'm considering doing something that I'm supposed to be doing, the best way for me to do it is to make a commitment to do it, right? How many times I walk around my house and says, man, that garage needs to be cleaned. I'm going to get to it. You know, how many of you know what that means? That means 5 weeks from now, it's worse. Okay. I have to look at it and say, I'm sick of that garage. I'm going to get in there tomorrow at 4. No, wait a minute. I've changed that. I'm sick of the way the garage looks. Josiah's going to get in there tomorrow at 4. Nice to have kids. As they're passing out, there's three things on here I want you to consider. First one says, I have never practiced For to Flourish, but will commit to our 7/27 challenge. What is it? June 21st to August 2nd, every service, including Sunday school. You say, what do you do when you're on vacation? You know what I do when I'm on vacation? I go to a different church. We find a church to go. It's kind of nice. I get to just go in there and sit down and take it easy. I get to walk in and say, where's the coffee? Where's the Sunday school class? I'm going to sit down and drink. I went to one, was it last summer? And they had like a group discussion and they wanted me to get involved. I'm like, I'm a visitor. I ain't getting involved. Where's the coffee? Okay, that's my thing. The next one is, so maybe you've never done that. I encourage you to try it. Say, what if I get sick or I have to work? You got sick, you have to work. God's not striking you dead. Come on. I'm just saying, you ought to try it. I think you'll enjoy, by the way, family nights, you'll enjoy it. I guarantee it. The second one is, I used to practice For to Flourish and have gotten away, but will commit to 7/27. There are some, used to do it, you started skipping. Maybe you need to say, you know what, I need to get back on board. And the last one is, I practice For to Flourish and will continue to do so by committing to our 7/27 challenge this summer. I'm encouraging you to do this. Okay, why don't we take a second and fill it out? And again, if you're new here and I don't want to push you, okay? But this is for some of us that have been around here for a little while. I think it's good for us to try.